We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
There you go, man. Show and Vern family. Josh, Steve, really need you to bear with me today as your leader. I'm playing hurt today. I cut my finger on a staple yesterday, bleeding a ton and still giving me some problems, so if I'm not completely myself, just kind of just let you know right off the bat that I'm playing a little hurt today.
Your eyes look like you broke keto. Something about the way you're presenting yourself today that says, guys, I broke my diet.
They've got a gloss.
Right.
Do they?
Maybe a glaze.
Your eyes look like you don't have the complete total of who is going to be at your wedding and reception. You know what time it is, baby, on a beautiful Wednesday. Don't try to play with me, man. I'm going to win every time. Hey, Vern!
Show, good morning. What an interesting night at Kauffman Stadium last night.
Now the 116th pitch and a slow roller. It's going to be a tough play. Merrifield, quick throw. Out at first. And Glenn Sparkman has pitched a gem.
Come on!
A five-hit complete game shutout. And the other starting pitchers coming out to congratulate Sparkman along with everybody else. And what an outing. Royals win it 11-0.
That's big time. Denny Matthews, Glenn Sparkman. What a performance last night. If you remember, Vern, earlier this week, I told you, man, dadgummit, Brad Keller, I wanted to see you. Under 90 pitches in the seventh, be able to find a way to finish this game, right? I wanted to see that. He pitched a great game, probably the best game of the season then, going eight innings, 10 strikeouts. And then Glenn Sparkman, of all people, the Spark Dog, Sparky,
G-Spark.
Glenn, G-Spark. He came in and
nobody
said,
nobody calls him the Spark Dog.
I can, yeah, they do. I can do better than that, and I can finish the game. Of all people, Glenn said, give me 116. I'll throw 116 pitches. Let's go. Glenn Sparkman, what a performance last night. Should be praised for big Glenn Spark Dog Sparkman.
I was surprised not to
about
see
that.
Serta tweeting about G-Spark last night.
This guy, yeah. That's a big-time performance.
No question.
I just thought his performance
speak. We thought Brad Keller had the best start, but he said, I'm going complete game, Jack. How about that? Big Glenn, that's what the story of today should be in Kansas City. Glenn Spark Dog Sparkman. I'm prepared to do 4 hours on it.
Just disappointed that, again, Serta really didn't reach out to G-Spark on Twitter. The only thing, at least pertaining to us three in this show, that I saw on Twitter came down from you, Ron, at about 8:36 last night when Adalberto Mondesi scored basically a Ricky Henderson home run. Got on first and stole second and forced his way home because of that relentless speed. You tweeted out, I do what I can. As I challenge Vern every day, I challenge Mondesi to be better.
Sanchez on the left side, switch hitter, hits a pop foul off third down the left field line. Mondesi in pursuit, dives, but he didn't catch it. Boy, that was kind of a crash landing. Mondesi still down, and Alex Gordon motioning to the Royals trainer, and Ned Yost come out and check on our shortstop.
It almost looked like he did a face plant. Well, that's not good.
Well, all that for a foul ball, and it just shows you the mindset of Mondesi. He's all out.
He almost made a sensational catch, too. But they're going to have to make a change here and probably move Lopez to short.
Mm.
move Witt from right to second base bring on Billy Hamilton, I'm guessing.
Oh, God, no.
What are you doing, man? Dude, why do we have a pre-show meeting? If you're just going to – you're sneaking audio in, crashing in. The people want to hear your thoughts on Glenn Sparkman.
I'll give you my thoughts.
Why do you crash
I'll give you my
this?
Thoughts. My thoughts on Glenn Sparkman are – don't mention Glenn Sparkman with Brad Keller. Brad Keller's 23. Glenn Sparkman's 27. Sparkman – tremendous last night. That was the performance of a lifetime. It'll probably never get better for Glenn Sparkman. Brad Keller's a guy that I expect to be a focal point of the next championship here in Kansas City. The other 23-year-old that shares a birthday that is 10 days away, is Adalberto Mondesi.
This is not what we talked about to do.
I don't know what
else to say.
Also,
Glenn's just
hitting
his stride.
But
hitting his prime.
Hashtag... show curse.
You don't put that. That does not go on me.
You did take credit for him having a hell of a game, and then he immediately got hurt.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
That is not. Don't put that on me. That was a freak accident. All right? That's not. God, man, I hate you. This is not even what we talked about doing here. Oh, good to see the show curse moved up. With the ratings with you, listener 007.
Yeah, and if you don't know, the show curse has a long history of destruction. Salvador Perez fell down those stairs moments after Ron Hughley wondered aloud what an angry Salvi would look like. J.R. Smith was going to be the player in Game 1. He was the X factor for Game 1 of the NBA Finals. J.R. Smith just forgot the score, you may remember, in that game. Ron went into a preseason Chiefs game and says, I promise not a single Chiefs cornerback will be burned. And on the very first offensive possession by the Atlanta Falcons, I don't remember the young man's name.
Tremont Smith.
Is that right? That young man got his lunch handed to him. Morgan Freeman dominated, I believe, 20 minutes of the show, and within the hour got charged with sexual harassment.
You cannot put Morgan Freeman on me. Because his ass is nasty. Bad nasty.
There are countless other examples, but it's only a four-hour show, my friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I present the latest destruction caused by Ron the Show Hughley and the forever respected and feared show curse.
There's no show
curse.
You
spent yesterday's show going on about how, oh boy, Adalberto Mondesi is now, I'm concerned about him regressing. He goes out and not only proves your point wrong by scoring a run single-handedly in the first inning, throwing your concern aside, and then as you try and take credit for him spitting in your face, laughing at your criticism of his game.
How was Legero Vic on me from the text line? I didn't do anything to Legero Vic.
You did befriend his mother.
And I swear, within the week of you and his mother becoming Twitter friends, he was, kicked off the team or he left for personal reasons? I don't remember exactly how that went down. LeGerald Vick definitely falls at the bloody feet of Ron the Show
now
Hughley.
Now my feet are bloody.
As he stomps
that was just,
throughout the sports
no,
world.
No, Adalberto Mondesi is just a guy who was going hard and a freak accident occurred. That does not have anything to do with me. It wasn't even... I'm sure I tweeted that after the injury.
You're sure? Okay. Ron Hughley.
Not positive. I just
8:36, and then at 8:47, Cody Tapp tweets out a picture of Nick Kenny walking off the field. It took 11 damn minutes for the curse to set in. My mama told me get away. We'll give you a chance to win an MVP golf card coming up in the next 10 minutes. Cody Tapp with the latest on Adalberto Mondesi, who is undergoing an MRI. And who, after the game, was telling teammates, I think I dislocated my shoulder. We'll have an update with Cody Tapp at 12:30. I want to transition to the Chiefs here, but I don't know. And, oh, my God, you're wearing a Chiefs shirt today. I mean, we got to talk Chiefs. I don't want to bring up the Royals.
No, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes right now.
Just talk about Anthony Hitchens or something.
Right.
No, I want to talk
about Chad Henne.
Stop it, man.
What's your hot Chad Henne take?
No, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes right now. Both of you. Double birds to both of you.
Make it about
I'm giving them both the Stone Cold Steve Austin right now.
Just talk about Armani Watts. Everybody thinks he's going to be a key to the defense this year.
Yeah.
Show 317 says, I just whipped both of your asses.
Okay.
That was lame.
Wrestling is lame.
No, it's not. That was just lame.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that,
it's
folks.
It's all lame.
It's, no, you're lame. But I'm sorry about that. See, no, I'm getting cornered, and I'm not going to let that happen. I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes because – I find it interesting to me, Vern, that it doesn't seem like for a guy who is the reigning MVP, for many people who believe, now this dude is the best player in football, all right? Not everyone, but I think a good amount of people believe he's the best player in football. He plays the most important position that I believe in team sports is the quarterback position. There are two major pressure positions. Well, maybe three. There are the quarterbacks, the NBA superstar, and Clayton Kershaw. Those are the three real pressure positions in sports right now. To me, it feels like the most pressure that he has this year will be pressure that will be put on himself. And I'll be honest with you. I know I should come to the table with a thought. I have a lean. I don't know why I'm going Fat Joe in the chair, but I have a lean here. My lean is to thinking that it's really a testament to how Chiefs fans feel towards him, because I don't think Chiefs fans, who I believe many people are in a Super Bowl thought process right now, it doesn't feel like to me that Chiefs
Am I hearing you right? Are you saying there's no pressure on Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, I don't think there's major pressure on Patrick Mahomes. The most pressure is the pressure coming this year?
Then we need training camp to get here. Because
right
you're thinking, you're talking crazy.
I'm not thinking crazy.
There's not pressure on the reigning MVP.
Oh, I don't think there really is.
Okay.
I think
NFL have you been paying attention to?
The one that I watch every year.
And who the one else that I sit in here, the category of Patrick Mahomes doesn't face pressure?
That's why I think it's really amazing to me. I don't think he's facing real.
Well, then
he doesn't.
Then you're confused.
Who is he facing pressure from?
Nationally, locally. Now, right now, he might not be because everything's great. But, Ron, when the bullets start flying, expectations change. Reality becomes something different to a fan base. People don't have it's not even a lack of perspective. There should be pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and there is pressure on Mahomes. If he lays an egg nationally, he will be docked points in the pantheon of great current quarterbacks in the NFL. And locally, the pressure will only rise as the season goes on, whether he does well or not. It's Super Bowl or bust, locally and nationally. That is pressure.
Locally and nationally, the pressure is on on Andy Reid and Brett Veach, and it shouldn't be on.
No
Brett.
One knows who Brett Veach is outside of Kansas City.
Bull.
If you
there
are
is
going
more pressure
to sit
on the two of them than it is on Patrick Mahomes. There's not pressure being placed on Patrick Mahomes by local fans here.
Are you talking about with pressure? Is pressure where if you don't get it done, then we turn on you like Eric Berry? Of course they're not going to turn on Patrick
Mahomes.
But that's
who people are
looking
at.
But if you don't deliver a Super Bowl title, if you don't win games this year, there's going to be pressure.
Oh, I can listen to the fact that it may start next year. This year? Nationally? No. Hell no. He doesn't have the pressure on him that Jared Goff has. And Jared Goff has been to the Super Bowl. And Jared Goff has a great coach. Andy Reid is the one that has the most pressure.
Well, then you are currently blinded by the Chiefs shirt you're wearing right now. Maybe instead of purple glasses, you're looking through Chiefs red glasses right now. If you don't
Chiefs
think there's
glass.
Pressure on the reigning MVP,
there should
who has
be.
Been glossed
there normally
nationally
is be.
All offseason as the new face of the NFL, if that dude doesn't work this season, if he doesn't put up numbers over the course of the season, yes, there's going to be pressure because it's on him. Of course it's on Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame head coach. but it's not 100% on Reed to win the Super Bowl and to win games each and every week. There's not going to be one week in which the Chiefs lose where Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be mentioned to start feeling the heat. It's not Phillip Rivers pressure, of course, but there is pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
It's not. His pressure should be more than Phillip Rivers. His pressure should be the most pressure in the league. He's the reigning MVP that has not won a Super Bowl, that has not gotten to one.
I don't know.
Who is thought to be the best.
Phillip Rivers is at the end of the road, and he's a Hall of Fame caliber.
He's the best player in the league.
Phillip Rivers is the Andy Reid of quarterbacks.
Vern, he's the best player in the league, which many people feel like he has a stacked team.
And he has years to do it.
And he has a great coach. And I think, generally, the best player in the league that hasn't won a championship generally has the most pressure.
He's in year two.
And I'm saying to you, and I think that might be a reason why, like I said, I don't know the real answer. I don't know if it's because he has only played and started 1 year, or that is because just most Chiefs fans and fans in general aren't there yet. He's not having the pressure that Peyton had after year two when Peyton went 13-3. There was much more pressure on Peyton Manning that next year. And I think a lot of that stemmed from we watched Peyton at Tennessee and have struggles and stuff in college as well. But the pressure that you would normally have from an MVP, a pressure that you would normally have from the best player in the league that has not won a Super Bowl, if they don't get to the Super Bowl, if they don't get to where they want to get to, I will bet the house that it is pushed towards Andy in terms of the bulk of the blame. And that's pressure. That's what the pressure. It is not going to be pushed. It wasn't pushed on Tony Dungy. It was pushed on Peyton. It wasn't pushed on Jim Mora. It was pushed on Peyton.
Now, Tony Dungy had a ton after he was unable to cash in Tampa. Look, it's but not it's, 100%.
He didn't jump Peyton.
It's just not 100% anything. Now, if we want to divvy it out, 60-40 this guy. No, there's pressure on Patrick Mahomes. The NFL is too big a Goliath, and the Chiefs are on prime time way too often for there not to be pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. No listener number, but from the 816, there's pressure on Mahomes now that the show curse has been bestowed upon him.
Go to hell, all of you.
Let's give away a MVP golf card as an apology for the way that Ron talks to you. An MVP
I
golf card.
I don't apologize for it.
It gets you on, well, I do, on behalf of 610 and behalf of Show and Vern. Let me apologize by giving a golf card to caller number 10. 913-576-7610. Caller number 10, you win a KC MVP golf card. You can buy one right now at mvpgolfkc.com. It gets you on five of the area's best courses: Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Adams Point, Minor Park, and Sycamore Ridge. Just $99, two rounds at each of those courses. $99, when that's $340 worth of golf. Buy it now at mvpgolfkc.com or caller number 10, 913-576-7610.
You know, speaking of Mahomes, you know, somebody who, great for him, just walking around without really any pressure on the season this year. I kind of felt, in a small way, what he goes through. Earlier today at the daycare.
Because you don't have any pressure because we're not in the top 10?
I've got more pressure than he does. At my job. I should say that out loud. I felt the celebrity that he deals with. This morning when I dropped my daughter at
I'll be back in like 15 minutes, man. I'm not talking with you today. Did you just say that again? Let me make sure I heard that right. Because you're obviously somewhere else today.
I'm not anywhere else. I just felt a bit of the celebrity this morning at daycare dropping my kids off.
Were you confused for someone?
No, they didn't call
was
me.
Was he like, hey, it's Patrice Colin Saunders? O'Neil.
No one called me Patrice O'Neil because he's dead. He did.
Why would they do
yesterday.
That? Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Patrice O'Neil.
Rest in power. No. Lady who works at the daycare said, hey, Ron, I've been meaning to ask you something. She said, Did I see you on TV? Did I see you on that locker room show? And it was right in front of all the parents and some of the other workers. And they were like, oh, you're on TV? I said, I dabble a little bit. I do some shows. Like, you're on TV. I was like, yeah.
I dabble. You didn't say I dabble. Please, God, tell me you did not say I dabble.
I said guilty as charged, obviously. Okay, and then I said, I dabble a little bit. And she was like, so you're like a celebrity. I said, I mean, I wouldn't say a celebrity. I mean, if you want to call me a celebrity, I mean, sure. But no, I felt it, man. It was like 7-8 people around me. Like, oh, hey, man, you're the front desk lady. I've been able to kind of keep it secret and private, but I kind of felt that, man. And I think life's going to be different now when I walk into that daycare every day where the people are like, hey, it's a bit of a celebrity walking through here.
When was the last time you were on television?
Just a couple weeks. A week or so, yeah. Yeah, right before I took off from Minneapolis.
What was the last show you were on?
It was in the locker room.
Locker room?
Did she just have like a digital antenna? Like she doesn't have cable, so she doesn't have that many channels?
Are you making fun of people who don't have cable? Who choose not to have
cable? I mean, there's so many
options. How do you know that she didn't have cable? How does she know?
Does have internet or something?
Why don't you just stop talking to me?
Let's hear the way that Ron Hughley was introduced the last time this big-time celebrity was on television.
Schoenberg. And a Kansas City native. He knows it all, from the Royals to the Chiefs, and tonight, even a little soccer. It's going to be Ron Hughley.
I don't think that was my headphone. Didn't sound like he got your name right. Sound like he pronounced it wrong.
I'm not going to take that. Whatever. I'm just saying, I got the feeling now life's going to be different when I go into that daycare now. Like, I could see how the front desk lady, she never knew, and now Jamie's going to look at me like, oh.
Are they going to let you, like, cut line? Because that'd be great.
There's no line to cut.
And so what's the perks of this?
You better clean up your act, then.
What? Clean up what act?
Just the way that you act, the way that you talk to people. Because now if you're a celebrity,
she said,
you're going to get the...
scrutiny? You're right.
Yeah. How people are always like, oh, George Brett's mean because he doesn't sign all of my autographs.
Because she did. She said, hey, man, I did not know that you were so crazy.
And congratulations. Congratulations to Kevin in Parkville.
That's right.
You win the KC MVP golf card. Can we move on to something else? Because...
I feel like we're on the edge
of Ron pleasuring himself in the studio. Can we please move on to something
first
else?
First off, less sex, more sports. Wow. And you know that's wrong. You know that's wrong.
I'm
sorry.
Anything else?
What? Why are you...
We got to move on. It's going to get nasty in here, and there's way too many people outside that door.
I am fine, man. You know how many autographs I've signed in the last year?
How many?
Can't even count them. At least 17.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag show 57.
Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
It's 53.
I know. Kansas men's basketball program has found a taker for its 13th and final scholarship for the 2019-2020 roster. DeJuan Harris, a fast-rising three-star point guard, according to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World, he's been compared to Tyshawn Taylor, Jacques Vaughn, and Stacey Augmon.
Yeah, Glassman.
This is the second or third time it has, in my opinion, gotten away from Matt Tate. He's reclassified himself. If you go watch his tape, like this could be an Abaji situation where he gets redshirted. They've got so many players in such depth. And his body he just seems very thin. Like he's not ready to play Big 12 college basketball. They open up the season, I believe, against Duke. It doesn't he may not get many minutes, but down the line, he could be good. Comparing them to those guys, let's calm down. I mean, just a take.
And Stacey Augmon and Jacques Vaughn played a good 6-plus years in the NBA.
Can you say Charlie Moore first?
Isn't he still in college?
Coming up.
Is he the new one you're going to treat like you did Q?
Many times.
Because you dumped all over Quentin Grimes last year.
This is for you, man. This is for you and your fan club. Many times our bad topics don't make it to radio, and I'm sure many of you are fumbling over to the keys to type in what you want to type in about. Yeah, you do have bad topics all the time.
All right, come
show.
On, come on.
But this one, I got to hear your reaction to, Vern. I got to hear your reaction. And wait till you hear how the deep down Royals fan in me tried to come out with this awful reach. That's next.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in, Show and Vern. You're looking at me shaking your head, coming up with BS. Like, you got my family texting in.
BS.
My father-in-law is texting me talking about you are the curse to Alex Smith. Like, I was the reason for his compound fracture.
Yep.
Somebody just accused me of cursing them because they got pulled over. Don't put that on me because your ass can't drive right. I was even going to throw this out. Congratulations to you. I think it's going to happen. Preseason poll picks Michigan to win its first Big Ten title since 2004.
Sure.
They've got 20 of the first place votes. Behind them, Ohio State and Michigan State. I like that. Congrats. That's it.
Unless Michigan doesn't play Ohio State, that's not possible. So I am not getting my hopes up about that.
Good for you. Congratulations. All right. I know this is bad, but I really, it's so bad that I just have to see your reaction to this because I got myself into a place with Glenn Sparkman where I tried. And this was not just me trying to come up with a topic, Vern. I was really knee-deep into it. Like that time I made myself make sense that the middle of the order of Alex Gordon, Billy Butler, and Jeff Francoeur was going to be something that could really carry the Royals in the American League.
It's easy to do that with a guy like Glenn.
The deep fan in me that rolled through. And let me tell you what I came to with this first. This is awful. I said, man, maybe this Glenn Sparkman situation, if we look at some of his starts, because he's had a few, maybe even more than a few starts where he's pitched well, not this well. He's had some seven-inning starts. I remember that one time he went seven and was mad at himself because he gave up two runs. Like, he really had more expectations on himself. I tried to get myself to a point to say maybe Glenn Sparkman is playing the role of Hunter Dozier to Mondesi in terms of Brad Keller. Maybe he is just becoming a surprise in the point of maybe Glenn Sparkman could be there when you need him down the line. Maybe Glenn Sparkman could be as good as Brad Keller. Maybe this is a surprise the way Hunter Dozier has become. And then I really looked into the numbers, and I just could not make that make sense. Just could not make that make sense. I tried like hell. I really did.
See, I feel like moments like this, you set me up. I feel like you're setting me up right now.
Setting you up for what? I'm coming into
to be mean to you. And then you hit me back with the, why do you hate me? Why do you treat me like that?
I'm not going to go to your wedding.
I don't have to hit that. Right. I didn't say I'm not going to go to your wedding. I mean, I haven't RSVP'd yet, but I didn't say I'm not going to the wedding. I know it was rough. I know, and I tried, man. I tried with all
but
the
why
numbers.
Is it bad that you're a Royals fan?
No, it's not the Royals fan part that's bad. It's trying to make that man out to be Hunter Dozier.
He's been a league average starting pitcher this year. Poor on the road, fantastic at home.
He's not going to help this team when they're good. Hunter Dozier, we've learned throughout this year, he's got a real chance to help this team.
Yes.
Like, I even tried to say, all right, man, that game he had in Toronto, man, he gave up 9 runs in like 2 innings, it felt like. That was just a bad start. But then I saw some others where he's given up 5, 6. I tried, man. I tried so hard.
Yeah, when he's good, he's really good.
He's just not consistent whatsoever.
Right, and the key to baseball is consistency. Most big leaguers have their day in the sun.
And you know I know that.
And that was Glenn Sparkman's day in the sun.
Now, he's had a few days, not a day like that, but he's had a few days where he's had some really strong performances.
He's had three really good performances. Last night, once in June, and then on May 1st, and the rest have been good or awful, which is the story of 70% of Major League Baseball pitchers. I don't want to do this to Glenn today. That was, as Joel Goldberg, who did a great job in that interview on the field with Glenn afterward, where Glenn could not get that smile off his face. You could see that he even recognized, this is the crowning achievement of my whole career. You could see it written on the face of Glenn Sparkman. But like Joel Goldberg said, you know, this is as good as it's ever going to get, basically. I mean, if you read between what Joel was hinting at to Glenn, which is, hey, man, drink this in because it's likely all downhill from there. And that's what you should do. That's what's beautiful about baseball is on a random night in July, Glenn Sparkman now has a story for the generations of Sparkmans to come.
How long do you think I sat through this to try to come up with this, to try to make this make sense?
Again, I don't think you need to try and make it make sense.
But
you
I did.
You were being a fan.
I did.
And you got
preposterous.
Caught up.
Yeah, I got caught up.
It's not, it's not likely.
Every bit of 30 minutes.
But anything is possible, right?
Every bit of 30 minutes. Going through each and every start. Strikeouts. Oh, 42 strikeouts to 18 walks. I mean, I did it all. It just...
He was fantastic. His stuff just does nothing to impress me.
No.
There's nothing really about Glenn's. I mean, he's a strike thrower, and when push comes to shove, give me the strike thrower over the guy that has no control of his stuff.
Yeah, I'll take Brad Recky.
Give me Glenn Sparkman instead of Jorge Lopez. Lopez has clearly better stuff. He just doesn't know where it's going and seems to lack confidence. Glenn Sparkman's a confident, I don't know if you could still call him a young man at 27. Congratulations, Glenn Sparkman. I'm not going to dismiss what Ron is saying with, I just don't want to do it today because I feel like the only way I can dismiss you is by dismissing him. And today is Glenn's day because he might not have another one like this ever again. Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, joins us at 12:30. Run that by Cody. See what he says. Maybe he will dismiss you in the fashion you were hoping.
I wasn't hoping for it. I knew it was bad. And I didn't. Sometimes I get surprised that Royals fan is still deep down in me to those links that I will just try to create things.
I'll tell you about getting surprised. Chris Kleiman, during the Big 12 media days, when asked about Les Miles, someone brought up to him, hey, Kansas head coach Les Miles was wearing his LSU national championship ring when he came to the podium. Kansas State head coach Chris Kleiman, why aren't you wearing your national championship rings?
I'd have seven of them on, and I thought that'd be a little bit heavy to have seven of them on, but they're displayed in the office. Come by and see them.
I didn't think he had that.
Well, I sure as hell didn't. I like that.
I didn't think he had
an
ounce of swag in his body.
That's a little different than what you're used to at K-State in Manhattan.
Even from Chris Kleiman, because he was asked earlier in the press conference about being picked ninth in the preseason polls in the Big 12, and it wasn't a blank you. It was what you would expect from Chris Kleiman.
I don't take a lot of count into preseason polls. I never have, even at previous school where we were ranked typically first. I still think it's about attacking on a daily basis and stacking good days upon good days throughout the month of August to get yourself in a great position to start your campaign at the end of August. And I know our guys are hungry. I know that a number of guys, and there's a bunch of them that are returning from last year, felt that they probably left a couple of games out there, maybe left a couple of plays out there, and having the hunger that those guys I see in their eyes, I look forward to getting started and not really worrying about where the rankings are.
That's more like it.
This is interesting. And I'm not just going to say this because we are the home of K-State Sports, where you can catch every single K-State football game right here on 610 Sports Radio. I'm not just saying that because we're the home of the Wildcats. I'm going to say this. He is so much the way that I believe most Chiefs fans look at Juan Thornhill. Like, I don't think, and I include myself into this, Vern, I don't think I can even see a way that he doesn't work.
Oh, I can see a way that Chris Kleiman doesn't work. If Les Miles' grand plan works, then Chris Kleiman doesn't work.
Yeah, but even if his grand plan works, like, I think Chris Kleiman will at least be solid. Like, I don't think at K-State there's expectations of winning national championships. I hope not. But I think even—
No, but there is an expectation to compete for Big 12 titles on occasion.
On occasion, not a year-in, year-out basis. And I think
right, and if Les Miles' grand plan works, which is I don't worry about Kansas, I'm going to recruit outside, build a legitimate program on true talent outside of Kansas, and then ultimately dominate locally— If that happens, then Chris Kleiman's not going to compete for Big 12 titles.
Even if Kansas is competitive, because Kansas, at best, would have that same try to compete on occasion for Big 12. Hell, right now, Kansas over the next 5 years got to try to compete to get to five Ws or to bowl eligibility. And I think Chris Kleiman, I can't see even if Kansas became good or much more improved, I can't see Chris Kleiman and K-State over the next 10 years not being a 7-8 win team at best, and then at times propelling to double digits that could maybe get you a Big 12 championship. Like, I just cannot see. It is hard for me to visually get to a place to see him not working.
Is this some backdoor show curse thing you're trying to do right now to get Les Miles back?
I just can't say anything now, huh?
Apparently not. I mean, you saw what happened to Adalberto Mondesi last night. You challenged him on Twitter, and he immediately went out there and separated his shoulder, we believe. Actually, MRI today. We'll get an update coming up a little bit later on.
But you think – I think Chris Kleiman – I just can't. It's
look,
just
he's
like
the best coach in the area. Chris Kleiman is clearly the best coach in the area.
Well, that's not true.
He is the hardest worker of the big three
in the area.
No, I am – in love with that hire. I love the way that he's running that program, and I have high expectations for him. But to sit here and say, I can't imagine it not working, I can formulate a way in which it doesn't work. And again, Les Miles' grand plan, what him and Jeff Long are doing in Lawrence, if that's, I don't think it will, because I don't think Les is a great football coach, X's and O's on the field wise. But if what they're attempting to do, which is to bring KU not just to relevancy but to prominence, if that grand ridiculous plan works out, well then yeah,
so I'm gonna
then I can envision K-State not hitting a home run with Kleiman.
I'm gonna focus on Chris Kleiman and not you taking out Les Miles for no reason. But I just see, to me, working out for K-State is consistently being bowl eligible, and I cannot see him not attaining that at K-State. Mm-hmm. I cannot see that. That is hard. I can't see the run. Hell, Ron Prince was able to pull. I can't see that.
Quick heads up, guys. Time is running out. Just 11 days away from Rivalry Renewed 2. KU alums taking on MU alums. Mario Chalmers, Drew Gooden, Brandon Rush, opposite Kareem Rush and Kim English, Ricky Paulding, and others. Sunday, July 28th, it benefits the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. It's all happening at Silverstein Eye Center's Arena. You can purchase your tickets right now at 610sports.com. Not only your tickets to Sunday and the game, but also tickets to the VIP player party that's going down on Saturday night at Repeal 18th from 6 until 10 o'clock. And the VIP ticket package includes your choice of game tickets, appetizers, four drink tickets, a Rivalry Renewed t-shirt, a player meet and greet, a roundtable discussion, and a chance to take part in a pregame shoot around with the players. That happens the night before, July 27th. Tickets to everything, Saturday and Sunday. You can find the link at 610sports.com. Rivalry Renewed 2. July 28th at Silverstein Eye Center's Arena. Interesting Snapchats that I saw courtesy of Dusty Likens. I'm not on Snapchat, but he showed me these videos. Ron, did you see? It's Mahomes and Chris Conley and Garrett Dieter DeMarcus Robinson, Travis Kelce, all on a boat, I'm guessing, somewhere.
Photos on Twitter as well, yeah.
Okay, photos on Twitter as
Conley's
well.
Conley's in Jacksonville now.
So was that Conley's boat that they were all on?
I doubt it.
Probably some. Probably a boat they just rented.
Yeah, Chris Conley doesn't own a boat.
Why are you so dismissive of the idea that
Chris Conley
owns
hasn't
a boat?
Made enough money to own a boat?
You're an idiot.
I know it was a small boat. Wasn't like a yacht or something.
A lot of people own boats.
Chris Conley does not own a boat.
My neighbor Seth down the street owns a boat.
Is he a better wide receiver, a better NFL player than Chris Conley?
Regardless if he is or not, he's not made the money.
They lose value as soon as you put them in the water.
I don't know how you got here.
Oh, man.
I honestly, like, what is that? What the hell?
He got $1 million signing bonus.
No. He said.
$1 million. Not enough for a boat.
No, Vern. He said he had made enough money to buy a boat. And then, like, to make that make sense to the listeners, he said they lose value as soon as they get in the water.
True.
Like his cars. Like, yeah, Chris Conley didn't have enough to buy those cars. Because
boats, horrible investments. Insurance, crazy high on boats.
What does that have to do with the fact that that man couldn't?
There's $1 million. There's $2 million. There's $3 million. He's made more than $4 million in his career.
Seatbelts. He made enough money in college to be able.
Sure, I'm with it.
At Georgia to be able to get a boat.
Yeah, but he's dumping all that expendable income into making bad movies. He's not buying boats.
See, now I'm done with him. Now we're just taking out Chris Conley.
Because I believe they probably went in and rented the boat, but I believe Chris Conley can buy a boat if he damn well wanted to.
And how do we know that the movie was bad? Did you ever see it, Siskel and Ebert?
Yes.
I couldn't remember which one has passed, so I just said both of them because I didn't want to be
disrespectful. I get Siskel.
Rest in.
Now it's Ebert and Roper.
Oh, you went with him.
Rest in peace.
You just went with him.
I think he's right. Ebert and Roper, something like that.
Yeah, I think Siskel.
Hey, do you think Tyreek Hill's name came up on that boat?
Had to. Man, we all adults and boys.
Because it's not like they're talking about his money.
How many times?
Because you don't talk about someone's money. Okay, fine.
You think there's somebody in our business who recently has done something stupid? You think that's ever come up in our conversation when we're hanging around?
No, it has, yeah. That's a pretty good analogy, Ron.
I mean, I don't just sit over here.
But how long does the conversation last?
I bet you it was the bulk of the conversation.
Because they looked like they were getting drunk what I saw.
The obvious, we all know the obvious first thing that was a lot of the conversation when those boys get together.
I would think when they get together, they all give Pat a hard time for not proposing yet.
I don't think they talk about Brittany.
Again, it was Pat, D-Rob, GD12, Kels, CC. It was those five.
Did you see Dieter chugging beers?
I did. I saw Kelce like pouring the beer in Dieter's face.
Tyreek from no listener number. Tyreek was on the boat, but the Chiefs
Pringle was going to make this.
But
team.
The Chiefs,
he wasn't
for the
on
Chiefs'
boat.
Sake. He couldn't take the pictures with them. No, I don't. Pat's not even letting that happen.
No.
Not he can't even take the chance of that being too close.
I don't think Trav's taking that either. I don't think Kelce's.
Travis don't care. Pat's definitely not.
I disagree. Travis Kelce just came out with his clothing line, a competing clothing line. Garrett Dieter's the only one that needs the Tyreek bump. That's why he's working out with them.
No, that had to be the bulk of the discussion. Because I feel like Chris Conley's been waiting to get them in person to have that conversation.
I'll retweet that picture. If you guys haven't seen the boat party to end all boat parties, check me out on Twitter, at Josh Vernier 610.
Somebody,
again, that's at Josh Vernier 610.
Let's hold this real quick.
I just retweeted it.
Because some listener said Ebert is dead too.
I just looked into that. We did lose Ebert as well.
Oh, you got it.
We're just down. We're just down.
Then who's telling us what movies to watch?
We're
who's
just
throwing up the thumbs?
Everybody just uses Rotten Tomatoes now. We're down to Roper. I think he's still working somewhere. He's certainly not as big of a deal as he used to be.
Are Siskel and Ebert buried next to one another? If not, they should.
I feel like they hated each other. No,
they should not be buried.
I feel like by the end, they hated each other.
I'm not. Listen, I love you with love all you
too,
my heart.
Bro. I love you too. I really hope you come to my wedding, man.
But I don't think that I would be. We're not going to be buried next to each other.
We're not. We haven't had a run like Siskel and Ebert.
But we're going to, potentially.
Well, Siskel went first. So.
Good luck.
Well, show's first. Siskel was the star. You claim to be the star.
Yeah, but I'll change it up here. I'm not going to die first. Man. I can assure
Ebert
you.
Ebert looked terrifying towards the end, if I'm going to be honest.
That's a good question.
Who? Steve! He lost whatever battle it was with. We don't need to. Oh,
who
man.
Do you think?
That was low, Steve.
Who do you think goes first between me and you?
I mean, you, of course.
I don't know, man. You had that long run of smoking.
I know, but I gave it up.
But he did prove at the combine that he's still a physical specimen.
Thank you very much.
He's a physical specimen, but that smoking is still getting you. I could cut this food, I think.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Steve's the first one to die, but out of you and I.
No, but we don't need to talk about. We know
that. Right. I think he's even
resigned
to that fact.
But you're older.
Pretty sure I'm losing function of organs right now.
You're older, and you're not.
I am 7 months older.
You're not fat, but you're unhealthy.
Correct.
You can eat with me.
And now you want to describe yourself. Go ahead.
I have.
Because you said, I'm not fat. I'm unhealthy. You are?
Fat.
Okay. And
more healthy than you.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that to the people. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Who do you want to die first?
No.
Ron or Vern?
No, we know who they want to die first. Who will die first? Who do you think's going first? Me or Vern? You're right, man. These damn kids can kill me first.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.